My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate. There's power in employees threatening to quit en masse. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. On Friday, the nonprofit board that governed OpenAI, maker of ChatGPT, fired its much-admired boss. By Sunday, Sam Altman found a plum job at Microsoft. By Monday, OpenAI employees were fixing to quit en masse. Now we can tell you Altman is now going back to OpenAI as boss. The question of why this all happened lingers, Marketplace's Nova Safo reports.
OpenAI says it's still ironing out the details of Sam Altman's return. There also will be two new members of the nonprofit board, which governs the for-profit arm of the company, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers and Brett Taylor, former co-CEO of Salesforce. Among those reportedly stepping down from the board, Ilya Sutskever, OpenAI's co-founder and chief scientist. He'd participated in Altman's ouster, and that is a clue as to the possible reason it happened. Just weeks earlier, at a TED Talk, Sutskever stressed OpenAI's mission was not just to create so-called artificial general intelligence, but to do so safely.
One of my motivations in creating OpenAI was, in addition to developing this technology, was also to address the questions that are posed by AGI, the difficult questions, the concerns that we raised.
Sutskever is an advocate of a go-slow approach to deploying AI. Altman is among those who want rapid deployment in order to test it in real-world environments and perfect the technology. He's also spoken about the need for safety measures. At the moment, Altman's camp appears to have won the argument about the way forward. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Note that one of the reasons OpenAI has this unusual non-profit board structure governing for-profit operations was to better balance safety concerns about a dangerous technology with the demands of commercial success. The CEO of Binance, the biggest cryptocurrency exchange, is leaving after pleading guilty to felony money laundering at the company. It's part of a larger $4 billion settlement with the feds over Binance operating illegally and busting economic sanctions. The Treasury said Binance helped Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and others move money around. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says this represents the largest such settlement in the Treasury Department's history. But Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, is surprised the penalty is not bigger.
It's more than a slap on the wrist, but it's less than you might have expected for a company that knowingly allowed money to be shoveled to Al-Qaeda, to Iran, and then tried to cover it up.
Prices of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum dipped on the news yesterday, but while Bitcoin is down further this morning, Ether is back up nearly 5%.
People in the crypto world are breathing a sigh of relief because they were worried about the possibility that Binance would be put out of business, that the biggest crypto exchange would be gone, and that hasn't happened. So crypto lives on.
Binance said in a statement that it made misguided decisions as the exchange grew and that the deal acknowledges the company's, quote, responsibility for historical criminal compliance violations.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, in an eBay little auction, if bids don't reach the reserve price, the thing doesn't sell. Well, that happened last week at the Auction House Bonhams in New York. An Andy Warhol sculptural piece did not sell because the bidding didn't hit 600 grand. Art critic Blake Gopnik wrote a big book about Warhol. He spoke to our Sabri Benishore about the auction that bombed.
So let's just describe the sculpture real quick so people can imagine it. It's called Bomb. It looks kind of like a bomb, torpedo.
Looks exactly like a bomb because it actually is a bomb. It was a 100-pound practice bomb that the Air Force used. It's painted silver, and it actually is uglier than it even looks in photographs. It is not a pretty object, which is why I think it should have sold for tens of millions of dollars, because it's actually closer to the heart of what matters about Andy Warhol's art than anything colorful and pleasant and poppy would be.
We're going to get to how much it should have gone for in a second, but before the auction, Bonhams estimated Baum would get somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000. It did not get even to that minimum. So how do art auction houses come up with these estimates? And then really, how are bidders coming up with the bids they're willing to put in?
The world of the art market, and especially of auctions, is very strange. It's really about psychology more than anything else. The people who work in auction houses are often trained as art historians, but the real expertise is in psychology. And I have to admit that the brilliant auctioneer slash psychologist at Bonhams were right in realizing that this bomb by Andy Warhol might not appeal so much to collectors. In fact, it ended up appealing less to anyone than they thought. And that's why it didn't actually sell, that the highest bid was only $480,000, which for Warhol is not much money at all.
Why do you think it should have gotten more than it did?
You know, the real heart of Andy Warhol's art, the thing that drives it, is its use of things that are found around us in everyday culture. It's really the heir to Marcel Duchamp's famous 1917 sculpture called Fountain, which was nothing more than a store-bought urinal. So this is, like that, something that Warhol just took from the world. That's what we call a ready-made in art history. It's, I think, Warhol's only actual ready-made.
The pop art movement, which Andy Warhol kind of headlined, made original art accessible to the masses conceptually, but at this point, it's not particularly financially accessible. What do you think you'd say about how his art is valued today?
Warhol's a funny creature because I won't pretend that he didn't love money. I mean, most of us love money. He loved it maybe a little more than some people, but no more than a lot of people do. But he was also really interested in undermining normal capitalism, undermining the art market. I think he liked the trouble this work causes. Warhol, people don't realize this because he's now such a famous artist. He was really a troublemaker, like Marcel Duchamp. He wanted to cause problems for people. And this bomb is a classic example of that.
Blake Gopnik, art critic and author of Warhol, thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show, Sabri.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore with Blake there. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.